Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Virtues of the Holy Quran Sharif. Hakim rahimahullah ta'ala has reported from Burayda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one who recites the Quran and acts upon it will be made to wear a crown woven with nur, and his parents will be made to wear garments which will be more valuable than the entire world. They will say, O Allah, what is it that we are being given these garments for? In lieu of the reading of Quran by your child, will be the reply. Hakim rahimahullah ta'ala has reported, Burayda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one who recites the Quran and acts upon it, will be made to wear a crown woven with nur, and his parents will be made to wear garments, which will be more valuable than the entire world. They will say, O Allah, what is it that we are being given these garments for? In lieu of the reading of Quran by your child, will be the reply. It is given in Jam'ul Fawaid by Tabarani rahimahullah ta'ala that Hazrat Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu had reported the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever teaches the reading of Quran to his son without memorizing it, all his sins, whether previous or subsequent, will be forgiven. And whoever makes his child memorize the Quran Sharif will be raised on the day of Qiyamah in the semblance of a full moon, and his son will be asked to start reciting, and for every ayat read by the child, the status of the parent will be raised to the next higher grade of Jannah, till the recitation of the Quran Sharif is completed. Such are the blessings for teaching the Quran to your children. This is not all. There is another point. Allah forbid if you deprive your child of the knowledge of deen for the sake of a few coppers, that only shall you be deprived of eternal reward, but you shall be held answerable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it not a fact that you are depriving your dear child of reading the Quran Sharif for fear that mullahs and huffaz, after memorizing the Quran Sharif, become dependent on others for their living? Please remember that not only do you expose your children to eternal misery, but carry on your shoulders a very heavy accountability. The hadith that kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyyati, each of you is a guardian and will be questioned about those under his control, means that everyone shall be questioned about his subordinates and dependents as to what extent he taught deen to them. Surely one should guard himself and his dependents against these shortcomings. But as the proverb goes, should one discard clothes for fear of lice? Nay, one should surely try to keep his clothes clean. If you impart religious education to your child, you will be free from your responsibilities. As long as the child lives, and whatever good deeds he does, and salah he performs, and forgiveness that he seeks from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you, will elevate your position in Jannah. If for the sake of this life and for the lust of a few coppers, you keep him ignorant of deen, that only will you have to suffer for this misdeed, but whatever evil and misdeeds he does, your account will not be free from their burden. For Allah Ta'ala's sake, have pity on yourselves. This life is only a passing phase, and death will put an end to all its hardships, however great, but the sufferings for which there is no end will be everlasting. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding and tawfiq to make humble, inshaAllah. Social etiquettes. The etiquettes of a gathering. Do not sit unnecessarily on the roadside. If one has to sit due to some necessity, then the following points should be kept in mind. A. Do not look at any ghair mahram strange women. B. Do not cause inconvenience to other passerbys or narrow the road for them. C. Reply to those who make salam to you. Encourage one another to do good. Prohibit one another from evil. If you see another being oppressed, then assist him. If someone has lost the road, then guide him. If anyone requires assistance to mount onto his conveyance, or he requires someone to assist in loading goods onto his conveyance, then assist and help him. Do not remove a person from his place and thereafter sit there. If a person arises from his place and goes away, intending to return quickly there, then this place is his right. If a person arises from his place in a gathering and goes away, intending to return quickly there, then this place is his right. Another person should not sit there. It is appropriate for the person conducting the gathering that if he has to arise for some necessity and he intends returning, then whilst arising he should place a scarf, turban, etc. there so that those who are present should know that he will return. It is appropriate for the person conducting the gathering that if he has to arise for some necessity and he intends returning, then whilst arising he should place a scarf, a turban, etc. there so that those who are present know that he will return. Allah give us understanding.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du, faqad qala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات صدق الله المولانا العظيم. We try to explain from the beginning that this month is the ideal month for our islah and reformation, to gain closeness to Allah, to make our life not only for the rest of the year, but the rest of our lives and our akhirat. If we spend our Ramadan reasonably correctly, Allah will bless us with this no matter what our lives are. Allah will change our lives. For that, Allah has given us this great and auspicious month of Ramadan, which is a month of blessings and goodness in every way. Then the Quran Sharif, what a kitab Allah has given us. Then Allah gave us rozas in this month. Then Allah Ta'ala gave us du'as in this month. And the barakat and the rahmat of this month are untold, we cannot imagine. Then where we are fortunate enough to have a islahi program, like this what we are having, and many other places also, where a concentrated effort is made for our islah. So if we apply ourselves, we will get this. And then a little bit more detail with roza, that roza fasting Allah has made farad, and that is the basic roza. And the real benefit and the true enjoyment of fasting we will get when we keep roza as it is required to keep. That is roza of the eyes also, which we had discussed, roza of the tongue, and there we discussed two aspects, that in fact three aspects, that we shouldn't talk, and roza of the eyes, there were two aspects, that we shouldn't look at haram, and also another greater haram, to look down upon somebody, to think low of somebody, that is in fact a greater haram also. And then the with regard to roza of the tongue, and what we speak, that we should be very, very careful. And then together with that, the third aspect, roza of the stomach, or roza of the food that we eat, what type of food that we eat, and that we were discussing yesterday. And together with that, we also explained the great qudrat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Like with regard to the eyes, for example, we explained in detail how the brain works, how it makes mathematical calculations, everything. And if we also consider the eye is such a thing which Allah has given us, it's perhaps about 1 square centimeter, very small in size. And it's not the whole eye that looks also. It is only the pupil, the middle part. And everyone's pupil, the middle part, putli, is black. If a person got brown eyes, green eyes, grey eyes, blue eyes, that is what is around the pupil. But the pupil is black. And what a person sees is the pupil. So this is Allah's qudrat, that in black He made light. Allah's qudrat is so great, and for Allah there is nothing impossible. Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi explains that for us things are impossible, but for Allah nothing is impossible. So that pupil is about just a millimeter square, or at the most 2 millimeter square. The pupil is very small, and that is the thing that looks, but it sees the whole sun, which is how many times, about 12,000 times more bigger than the earth. It sees a whole mountain. But if one piece of the mountain, one piece of sand has to come in his eyes, he can't see anything. But what when his eyes are normal, he can see the whole mountain, how Allah has made it. And what a camera, and what a video camera Allah has made the eyes. What it pictures and how it files it. And to take it out from the file, how easily it takes it out again from the file. What we see the qudrat of Allah. Allah gave us eyes to see His qudrat. But if we don't see and we use the eyes to look at haram, how unfortunate are not we? We don't see the great qudrat, the kamal of Allah in the eyes. And then the jamal of Allah that He gave us, a thing like eyes. When we came in this world, nobody asked Allah Ta'ala, I'm going in the world, I will need eyes there. Like if we're going to make safar to any place, we find out what things I will need there. We make our arrangements also. We came in dunya, did we ask Allah for eyes? Allah, and again, Allahu Akbar. One eye was also enough. And if all of us should have one eye in the middle, it shouldn't look odd, we should get used to it. But why did Allah give us two eyes? Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Kandelvi Rahmatullah Ali used to say, Allah gave us two eyes, with one eye to see our necessity, what we need, where we have to go, etc. And the other eye to see to the necessity of the poor people. But today we use both eyes for ourselves. What one hand we must eat, what one hand feed the people who are in need. But we are eating with two hands. And we are leaving nothing for the others. So that is what is a human who considers other human. And clearly it comes that Allah has given us our wealth, not just for us, but there is a share for other people. And not only the zakat. Even after you have paid all your zakat, and a desperate person comes, so you can't tell him my zakat is finished. And you convinced in your heart is a genuine case, and he has to be helped. You must help him with your lilla money. No, not that Allah has kept a share for the poor. It's not just that our money that we devour and use it for ourselves, and we're living extravagantly, and we live in a wrong way. In fact, somebody lives beyond the means also, which one beautifully somebody has explained. Today we have become so, our nature, we have programmed ourselves, we have become accustomed to buy things that we don't need, what we don't need, what money that we don't have, and to impress people that we don't like. We buy things that we don't need. Your bedroom is still fine, but now you have to change the curtains, you have to change the carpet, unnecessarily, it's not necessary. Your house can still do another 6 months, a month without painting. But now just because you got money, now you don't know where to put the money. Or in many cases, you don't have the money. Just this idea, and this is also an idea, is also a strange thing. As you're sleeping on your bed comfortably, everything, your bed is paid up, your house is paid up, everything, you're sleeping nicely, but one idea came that I must change my carpet in my bedroom, though it's not necessary. Now you go and change it. Now a new carpet, you say this bed doesn't now suit this new carpet. Now it must be a new bed also. Now a new bed, of course, it's not going to go without new linen. You can't use your old linen now on your new bed. Now your curtains don't suit. Now the old curtains and the color is not matching now. As if color is anything important for to have a comfortable life. But today so much that everything, so much so one person came, he said the masjids in South Africa, the color matching in the masjids, if the tiles in the wuzu khana are maroon, for example, then the seats will also be that color. The towels also. In one masjid recently, there was a huge uproar and big problems because the towels must match with the tiles, etc. And then not only that, the soap must also match. The color of the soap also has to match. What has all these things got to do? When in our masjid, which is a place where simplicity, where we come to the masjid, Allah made it 5 times a day, that we come to get our service, to get our maintenance done, to correct our lives. But if we make the masjid so attractive and so dunya full, we have, Maulana Saeed Khan Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, used to say, today we have to lock our masjids, because we have brought so much dunya in the masjid. The clocks, the watches, the PA system, and all these things here. So today we have to, whereas a masjid is not supposed to be locked. It's a place where Allah's rahmat is being given out and free of charge and all the time who comes. But today generally masjids have to be locked also. So because we have brought so much dunya into the masjid that we even have to lock our masjid. That people, where does a crook go and steal? One time, one Shia told Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh that no Shias become Qadianis, only Sunnis. People of Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat, Sunnis, they become Qadianis. Mufti Sahib was very hazir jawab, he had his answers ready all the time. So he said, Shaitan is a stupid fool that he'll go and steal where there is nothing. Shias from before there is nothing, there is no Iman. So what must he go and steal there? He comes and steal by the Sunnis who have got Iman. So that is where he steals. So anyway, today the crooks come to the masjid because there is dunya in the masjid. If we kept out dunya from the masjid, then the crooks won't come. People who come for deen, they should have come here. So anyway, that one idea that comes to a person. So a person, now he changes, his whole bedroom is made up now. Now the rest of the house doesn't look nice. So now the wife says, you made the bedroom, make the kitchen also. Now you make the kitchen, you make the rest. Now the outside of the house doesn't look nice. Now the garden has to be made. And now your car doesn't look nice, your old car. Now you have to change your car also. Now your friends or people who visit you, your old parents, etc., your family, now they don't look nice. You need young people now. Because now parties have to be like that, brides have to be like that. And this old people, they don't fit in all that. Now you need people like that. Now in the whole process, you started with one thing and then you couldn't afford the others. And today loans are freely available. Not for free, easily available loans. Wherever you want, people are forcing you to take loans. Because it has become a big scam and a big business. They take giving of loans also. So you get a loan, you do all this. And soon you realize you can't pay back. You have got so many accounts now to pay in different, all for the different things. Now, you did all this to live it up, to have a comfortable life, peaceful life. But now as they come to repossess the things again, they're coming to repossess your car, they're coming to repossess your fridge, they're coming to repossess this, and the neighbors are seeing that our neighbors who are living it so well up, now today what's happening? Everything is going again. So this is an idea that comes to a person. When an idea comes, so a person must be very careful. Whatever thing comes in our personal lives also, never make an immediate decision also. Play around with that thought for quite a while in your mind. Look at it from different aspects. And then discuss it with responsible people. In whichever line it is, don't just make a decision. Otherwise this one thing leads to endless things again. In anything of our life, and that is where many of us make mistakes. We don't, if we have to go back, we'll see it was one small thing, but because we did not take guidance. Therefore, in dini matters also, you have a share. It is very, very important that everything you relate to your share, not just for name's sake you have a share. And you're still carrying on with your own life, everything. And a sheikh also is not a marriage counselor, is not a financial advisor, that all those things also you come to with your sheikh. It's alright by the way, but the main reason for a sheikh is your dini matters. And many of us, that we don't ask also any questions about our dini matters. That is very important. And the biggest benefit we can get is from deen, and the greatest harm that we can get is neglect or misuse of deen. If a person's aqidah has to become bad, and just that, for example, asking in Cape Town, for example, the missionaries, Christian missionaries, they said that we could make no inroads with the people there who were associated with a sheikh. This was the Qadiani set. They tried very hard to make the people of Cape Town Qadianis. But they said that the people who are so anything, they say, well, we'll ask the sheikh, whatever our sheikh says. So sheikh will never tell you must become a Qadiani. So they couldn't make any inroads. The Christian missionary said that those people who learned Quran Sharif in their childhood, we could never convert them and make them Christians. Because the effect of learning and reading Quran Sharif, even without understanding, it makes your iman strong. Right? This is a very, very important aspect that we don't really understand, but for the safeguarding of our iman, the first thing is, see, it comes in the hadith, kullu mauludin yuladu ala al-fitra. Every child is born on the natural path of Islam. Then is the parents, yuhawwidanihi, they make him a Jew, or they make him a Christian, or they make him a fire worshipper, depends what kind of a house it is. If it's a Muslim house, then what happens, the first thing which should happen, adhan in the right ear, and takbir in the left ear. Again, here if we have to think, it doesn't make sense. What is the child? He's not going to be making namaz in any case. And if he's a Gujarati child, he's a Zulu child, Swana child, what is he going to understand Arabic? Even if he's an Arab child, he's just born still, he doesn't know Arabic stuff. So even the language, and what for what purpose? But fa'alul hakim la yakhlu anil hikmah. Allah's commands, it's not empty of hikmat, it is overfull with hikmat. The amount of hikmat Allah has got. So why the child? Just by that adhan. And the answer to this is given in the dua after adhan. Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma. Adhan is da'wati tamma. So the child is just born and you're giving it da'wati tamma. The kibriya, the greatness of Allah. 4 times at the beginning, 2 times at the end. All six ways, Allah is the greatest. The basic elements in the world of which everything is made are 4 elements. More greater than all of them is Allah Ta'ala. Then the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. The risalat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The prescription for success, which is namaz. This is what all is adhan. And then, so when the child is given adhan in the ear, right ear, left ear, that child will definitely die a Muslim. That da'wat is gone into its blood, into its veins, into every part of his body, that into its heart, into its mind, that da'wat is gone. That child will remain as a Muslim and will die in between whatever can happen. Up and down things can happen, but he will die as a Muslim. In fact, the Roman Catholics say that give us a child till the age of 5. They say till the age of 5. Islam say just the adhan and takbir in the ear. And the child will be a Muslim. They say give us a child till the age of 5 and the child we guarantee he'll die as a Christian. When they have, it comes in the hadith that what you learn in your childhood is like what is imprinted on a stone. And nothing can take it out from there. Like that. So the childhood is very important. And today, the enemies of Islam, enemies of mankind, not only of Islam, or of Christians, they all, in fact, the first time I saw this, we were traveling in Malawi, and we saw a signboard, a Montessori preschool from the age of 0. That means the child is just born and hand them over the children. So the mother doesn't have to have anything to do with the child. She's just too happy to go back to work. She's a career woman. She has to go to office. She has to go to, she's a teller or whatever else. She wants to go back to work. But the most important and crucial years of a child is when the child is born. Before that also, when the child is in the womb, before that also the thoughts of the child. One young boy, many years ago, he completed Quran and by the age of 8, and he was such a hafiz, he would sit on a minbar and he would read with full confidence from anywhere. He would read with full confidence, such a good hafiz. So I asked his father, in your opinion, how is it Allah blessed this child with this great treasure? So he thought for a while, then he told me when his mother was expecting him, Every day she should read 15 suparas of Quran Sharif. There are those instances where the child, the mother, while the child, the mother was weaning the child, breastfeeding the child, she read continuously Amma Para. When the child started speaking, he knew whole Amma Para. If the mothers of today are like that, then you will get this results also. So anyway, so these things have an effect on the child. And then after that, after the adhan, now in a Muslim home where there is little consciousness of deen, the parents want the first word the child must say, Allah. And then read some ayat of the Quran Sharif, read La ilaha illallah, etc. Then to read the Quran Sharif. And just by reading the Quran Sharif, even without understanding, that whole message goes into a person. And previously, what was our Islamic education, even here in South Africa, is that it's especially for girls. And they should take girls out of madrasa also at that age. As soon as she has completed one time her Quran Sharif Nazra, they say now she has learnt finish. Now in the madrasas, alhamdulillah, they teach much more. Fiqh is a separate subject, hadith is a separate subject, duas are a separate subject, all these things. But before there wasn't all this, but they were strong Muslims. Just that Quran Sharif properly, and that was taught properly, and by Ustad and Alim, and he also had deen in him, and really that is enough. But today we learn much more, but we have gone so much more weak also. Previously they read less, but they were strong. So anyway, by the reading of Quran Sharif, so these things make a person very strong, from where all this started. When he was, there was something else. Anyway, So about the eye we were speaking, that Allah Ta'ala has given us this eye, and look at Allah's qudrat in the eye also. And then we spoke also about the tongue, Allah's qudrat in there also. And then the food also, that فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِ أَنَّا صَبَبْنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّا ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّا. How we made, Allahu Akbar. Look at how Allah made our food for us. That water is being poured on it, whatever irrigation, natural or artificial. And then this earth becomes hard on top. And that seed on top, inside, it germinates it now. And Rabbi Falak is nobody besides Allah Ta'ala, who makes that seed even to tear apart. And a fine, weak, delicate little plant that comes up from there, and then how it breaks the earth on top, and then it appears. And yeah, man, he can do, he can plow, he can put the seeds, he can do irrigation, but for that seed to split, he knows, I've got no share in that. I call, if he's a Muslim man, he'll say, I'll make duas. If he's a non-Muslim, he'll say, I'll cross my fingers and just hope for the best to happen. But who does that? Nobody besides Allah. And when that new shoot comes out, how weak, isn't it? Who looks after it all? Nobody else besides Allah Ta'ala. And mata'al lakum wa li'an'amikum, food for you and for your animals also. You worried about yourself, Allah says, I'm worried about your animals also. For their food also I'm seeing. Allahu Akbar. How many people, we worry about ourselves. If we have got pets, we didn't buy their food. For our workers, we don't see to their food. We worried about ourselves. So this is also, look at Allah's qudrat, all that. So in everything, if we keep our rozas, one roza, forget the month of Ramadan, can make a person a wali, and guaranteed wali for life till Jannah also. Such an occasion Allah Ta'ala has given us. Then with regard to the food, and also we discussed all that our food must be halal and tayyiba. Halal also, tayyib also. We must be very concerned about this, that we are eating the right food. Sometimes if it happens, you are desperate, you are traveling, and you have to eat somewhere. This also is a very important thing. If you have to eat at a restaurant, at a hotel, then be very selective there also. There are a lot of things which you can eat, but which are not good for you, and which for your health's sake is doubtful also. You can easily avoid it. The variety is so big, You can eat so many healthy things there also. Just like a person who is on a diet and he's choosing his foods carefully, but and sometimes he's caught up in a, he's invited somewhere. But there also he can be easily selective. And you don't have to draw attention of the people also. You can eat, Allahu Akbar, Hadraji Maulana Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and this is what most of our Buzurgs, Hadraji Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. In fact, in England, Maulana Ayyub Surti, who has passed away now, Maulana Ayyub Khulwadia, he was Hazrat's host there. He said that, Hazrat used to say, people think I'm on a tablighi door, I've come for tabligh. Like tabligh jamaat, when they come, they are meeting people all the time. Umumi gash, khususi gash, usuli gash, ta'alimi gash. They are all the time going meeting. He says they treat me like that also. From 28 houses in one day. And for what? They just come and have little zamzam by our house. When you go there, it's not only zamzam. The whole dastarkhan is full. Another place again, just come and have tea by our house. It's not only tea. Now, of course, buzurs, how nobody can eat so much. Wherever you are, all the time. So this is not the adab of hosting buzurgs also. That you make them go from house to house, door to door. The adab, if you want to feed, you bring it there. And more better than that is, you give cash. Our Sheikh Ahmad Barakatum says he went to Bangladesh. Now their lungis are famous and good lungis. So everyone coming with a lungi present. And you say, when if I have to take 500 lungis when I'm going, Karachi customs make me pay a heavy duty there. That you are a businessman. You're not a Sufi and a buzur. You're a businessman selling lungis. So many times away, everyone is giving that same thing. Giving that same thing. I mentioned one about honey. Then one friend of ours listened to it over the website. So he also, and everyone who brings honey, they say, Hazrat, our honey pure. Everyone in the world that are, honey in our country, in our town, this is 100% pure honey. There isn't honey better than this also. So how lot honey, what's going to happen to poor Hazrat? He's only going to eat honey or what? And even you give out, how much you're going to give out? So our Sheikh Ahmad Barakatwi, in fact, reprimanded me severely once when somebody also invited Hazrat. Say, haven't you taught them till today the adab of hosting a Sheikh? That if you want to feed, take the food where the Sheikh is staying. And more better than that, give cash. Cash can be used easily. But also, shaitan plays with us. You buy a present, like for example, I don't know nowadays, but in those days for weddings, people should give present. Most of the common present used to be a water glass set. Because that is cheap, and it's a big parcel. So you don't pay. If you have to give cash, you give a small amount. You give it a whole glass, water glass set, nice big parcel. But it's a small amount. So shaitan makes you that I gave a big parcel. I gave a big present. But in value-wise, it is hardly any. And if you give cash, then it may be a small envelope which hardly is noticed. But much more valuable is cash. Then that can be used however the sheikh wants to use it. And mashallah, our mashayikh, the amount they help other people again. Now you can't go and help everyone with lungis. The poor man hasn't got his electricity to buy and you give him 5 lungis. Now you must go and sell lungis and then get his money to go and pay for his electricity. So anyway, where were we, Musa? When we are on diet, food when we go, whether it is your diet for your weight or whether it is diet for your halal and haram and doubtful food or whether healthy food, you can easily be selective. And today's most of the dastarkhan has got so many things on it. The ji, so I was explaining Hadraji Maulana Shah Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. I saw him myself personally, also like this, da'wat after da'wat. Then we explained about Maulana Masihullah, how they get all one way da'wats all the time. So Hadraji used to eat paan. So his mouth is moving all the time with the paan. All the time, it looks like he's eating. And in his plate, people are putting, he doesn't stop them. And in fact he asked, put this also, put that also. But I saw how many, that not one thing of that food, of that what was on the dastarkhan, went in his mouth. And from there again, he says, give him also this. Give him, all get happy barakat, tabarruk of the Hazrat. And Hazrat didn't even touch it. He's just eating his pan all the time. And nobody notices it. So you don't have to make a show of piety. No, I don't eat this food. From where you got this, or how you got it, or what is this food. You don't have to make a show of piety. In a very nice way, you can, if you are sincere, and you are worried about more important, your iman. Food is goes directly with iman. And then, if you are worried about your health, wrong eating habits, how people suffer with their wrong eating habits. Many people who overeat, and the night they suffer. I tell the students, usually they are still young. Their machines are strong still. But, so they eat anything, and overeat also. But still they have a proper sleep. Their stomachs are strong. But as you age, you start aging, then you have to be very careful about, and even for the students, even during the young days, any person during your young days also, if you watch your diet, what you eat, you'll enjoy the benefits of it in your old age. And if you spoil your eating habits and you eat the wrong things, afterwards you harm your health. And there are certain things which cause irreversible harm. Right? Hakim Yusuf used to explain a few things that what we eat, it causes irreversible harm to a person. And in that particularly is the smoking, drugs, alcohol, these things here which are haram also. Hey, they cause irreversible harm to a person. Even our other food stuffs that we eat, hey, there are so many things. A person must be very, very careful and be very choosy. Buzurgs commonly when they sit on the table, people force them, they say, bhai, the food is yours, my stomach is mine. I have to look after my stomach. And what I'm going to go through at night, you won't know. So I have to be very careful. About this food, one important thing that I wanted to mention, we were here in Nampula, is in Mozambique, in the north of Mozambique. And we had a day extra, so our host, they had a cottage on the beach, on the island next to that, where the island of Mozambique, Isle de Mozambique. And that is where Islam entered Mozambique. And the person who brought it, Musa bin Beg, he entered from there, and the masjid he had is still there, a small masjid. But next to it, a big masjid is also built. And in fact, in most of the places, and we must make lot of dua, Mozambique one time was 100% Muslims. Musa bin Beg came there. And how many? And Madagascar, it was either Muhammad Azhar, who had, came. And at that time, whole of men, 100% they were Muslims. Or it was Madinatul Azhar. It was called by the Arab because it's a city and a small city of island. But it's a big island, one of the biggest islands, Madagascar. And till today, their language, their salam is salama. And if you, they also came from Indonesia, Java, those Muslims who came first. And if you see them, you'll think exactly how you know somebody here in Malay, in Bosmont, for example, or Nuclear, our Malay brothers, the features are still 100% the same. Khatna they make still till today. But today, 90% are non-Muslims. Islam is spreading fast, but the main weakness is we don't have a follow-up. A person becomes a Muslim, but then to teach him, to let him live as a Muslim, that we are still very weak in. Though now, alhamdulillah, many quarters they are addressing this and it's coming into control. The same way, for example, this place here, Honolulu. Today, Honolulu is known for something else in the world. That also the Arabs had discovered it. And when they went there, what did they say? Honolulu. Lulu pearls were just scattered on the ground. So rich it was, like nuggets. Even in Madagascar, gold nuggets, you don't have to mine. You just pick them off the ground. So these places are rich. There is also another thing. The truth of the matter is, what we call poor countries, they are the richest countries in the world. And which we call the rich countries, they are the poorest countries. What all that is happening, is that with the shrewdness they exploit these poor countries. Labor also of the poor people. That labor also is used to make up those countries, and all the minerals of the world are in these countries. In what we call the rich countries, which minerals are there? What grows there besides potatoes? Nothing else grows there. All the things that are, all the minerals of the world, whether it's oil, whether it's gas, whether it's uranium, whether it's platinum, whatever you can think, are in these countries. And they also use these as deposits of labor, and then they manipulate them how they want to use that labor they use, and they make up their country. But we don't see through this thing. They have made us such stupid fools. Sri Lanka, its first name was Ceylon. And Ceylon also is from Ceylon. The Arabs discovered it. And Ceylon, water flowing. You hardly travel 100 meters river, 200 meters river, lot of water. So they called it Ceylon here. There is an abundance of water. Water is just flowing here all the time. But what happened? And also these places, there's Lagos, no, not Lagos, near Vietnam. Vietnam also. And the place next to Vietnam, there is one country. Cambodia, all these places, these were all 100% Muslims. And today, Islam has become not an alien thing there, or a foreign thing, a hated thing. How the enemy has worked, and we are just happy with our business, making money all the time. Otherwise, if we do turn to deen, we are just happy with our ibadat. We are doing our own ibadat. We're Muslims. Our one main primary concern, dua at least, must be that Islam must rule the world. Islamic law must rule the whole world. We cannot be happy and sit back that we are living under kuffar law. No matter what big Sufi you become, what big Tablighi and Maulana you become, but if we are under kuffar law, how can you be happy? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, Allah sent Islam, لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ, that Islam must overcome all, it must eat up all the other religions. These people, they understand, and that's why they're so afraid that Islam is not only a religion, it's a complete political force. It's a complete way of life. When we say complete way of life, we have even taken out muashara from Islam. We have taken out muamalat from Islam. Whereas Islam is that complete way of life that it has to govern also. And not govern one country. That is also not enough. If Islamic law comes in Afghanistan, it's not enough. Islamic law and every Muslim's jazba must be this, that Islam must be in the whole world. And I cannot be happy, I cannot be satisfied until Islamic law doesn't come in the whole world. But the sad part is, Islamic law is not only not in my house, it's not in my life also. So much we are unconcerned. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib Usmani, Da'amat Barakatum, gave such a beautiful example. Like this, what I'm talking, lot people talk, bring Islam in the world, bring Islam in the country, Islamic Sharia ko nafiz karo, bring Islamic law. He says the easiest way is that yourself, your whole country, we have got so many provinces, so many states, you've got the brain, the eyes, the ears, the mouth, the heart, hands, legs, these are all different provinces of this one whole country. And you are the president of this country without election also. You didn't have to campaign also to become a president. You're the boss of your country. You're the owner. You rule your country, your body. And no voting also. And not for 5 years that you're the president, prime minister. You're the life president. And no opposition also. So you bring Islam in your eyes, you bring Islam in your tongue, you bring Islam in your mind, in your heart, who's stopping you? And if we just do that, so one side we go to this dream of seeing Islam in the world, but we don't bring Islam in our others. And the other we are so, we don't even dream about the honor and greatness of Islam, that we don't even bring Islam within ourselves. So this is very, very important that we should cherish this idea and work and start with yourself. And then you bring it in your house, bring it in your neighborhood, bring it in your town, bring it in your extended family, work that Islam comes in these places. How much of us are doing anything constructive in this way? We hardly give da'wat. Even so much, just for example, we're having our majlis. Who of us gave da'wat to anyone? Come listen to the majlis here. Or if a person couldn't come today with technology, listen on the website. Hey, listen on Sawtun Noor. Who of us? We're not even concerned for our own people. Then where would the other people? So there is a great weakness also within us. So anyway, where? Yeah, that was important. So they took us there to this place, and the Mozambican island. It's maybe 5 kilometers or 8 kilometers away. And the Portuguese, when they were ruling, they had built a bridge that you can go across now by bridge. But in those days, they had to, these people, they used to go for schooling to their nana, to their mother's father's house, and that was in the island. From the mainland, they had to go there. And they should spend a whole week there. Weekends, they should come back home here. There were only those boats, little boats, sailboats. And there were only 2 boats, motor boats. And that was expensive and they couldn't afford it. So for to go with the sailboat, you need wind. When the wind blows, then that boat will move. If there's no wind, that boat doesn't move. And so he was about 5 or 6 years old and he got polio. And his polio was so bad that they had to actually carry him into the toilet for his toilet to be done. And there was a black man, very pious man. His the father of this man, now when he told us this, he was about 55. He says that the father told my mother to take him to this buzurg, to this old black man, and let him make dua. So he said, we went there, he made dua for me. He said, his dua in today, not one tablet I took, not no operation, nothing. Until today you can see, yeah, I'm walking perfectly. I got no problem. But then he say, what was that man? That when this boat said to go, then no wind. And then we saw this buzur coming, walking slowly, casually. As soon as he puts his leg in the boat, the wind starts. And we saw many times, he say, the train, that there was a train service also, from Nampula to wherever it was, Beira, wherever it was. And when we went, the train in the jungle, not a signal, not a robot for the train, just it stopped. There is no reason for it. It's standing. And we are all waiting. Then we'll see this buzur coming casually walking. As soon as he puts his step or leg on the train, it starts moving again. But where? He says that now, how did he become like this? He says that they were not living in a village also. In a jungle they were living. And in that jungle, whatever food should be put in front of him, he should be particular from where it came. Who sent this food? Eh? There was no question of McDonald's and Kentucky and all this here. No question of hand-slaughtered and machine-slaughtered chicken. Nothing of all this thing, which E number or anything. All the things were 100% original, pure. And they were all Muslims. But then to your soup, with your food, you will become mustajabud da'wat. It's a famous story about Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. That there were a group of great buzurgs, 40 abdal in Kufa, that whenever a ruler used to come over them, who used to rule against the Shariat and in the wrong way, one dua of theirs, bad dua, and he should be removed from there. But when Hajjaj came here, the first thing he did, he made a dawat for everyone. And after that dawat, he said, now I'm not afraid of the bad dua. I've put haram in this food here, and haram is gone in there. It comes in the Hadith Sharif. A musafir's du'as are readily accepted by Allah Ta'ala. And a musafir, and he's desperate, and he's stretching his hands, Ya Rabbana, Ya Rabbana, and but, Anna yustajab. Where will his du'a get accepted? His clothes are haram, his food is haram, everything is haram. And today we pay no attention to it. If a person wants any goodness for himself and for his children also to come, then it is very important that we pay attention to halal food. This is very, very important. And in this matters, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah has written that it's not that you work on doubt. You must be sure. Wherever you go and eat also, make sure that food is halal. And you won't die if you stay without meat. If you are doubtful of the meat, also in this we must be very careful. Many places we choose fish, but the more expensive fish recipes have got red wine with it. They have to add wine with the fish. So if you're eating fish also, usually if it's the ordinary cheap fish, which is prepared also anywhere, that hopefully wouldn't have the wine. But when it's an expensive dish, which is concerned with fish, then wine is also added in there. So a person has to be very careful in all his matters, what he eats. And the way they have added things in almost any and everything. Pork, for example, in its various forms, what and what haven't they added it in? So a person must be as careful as he can and be very particular about food. It is very important. Then together with that also, we must keep roza of the ears also, and the hands and legs also. With the ears, we will discuss a little bit that what we hear, we have to be very careful. The eyes are such, you can easily close your eyes. Allah gave us shutters. You just pull the shutter down, and for that no button also. By your knee, by your ankle, a button. No, you don't have to press any button. Just with the flick of a thought, you can pull your eye shutters down and you can close. Which our Shaykh explained so beautifully, was samne aaye, that is, women that we are not allowed to see. When they came in front, was samne aaye, hum nabina ho gaye. You just close your shutters. Was samne se hat gaye, hum bhi na ho gaye. When they moved away from in front, again we became seeing. So we can easily become blind without any difficulty. But the ears, you can't. Just like that, unless you put your fingers. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he passed the marketplace and there was music, he put his fingers and he asked everyone, is that sound now finished? So particular they were. So anyway, the ears also we have to be very careful. And one common thing today, and also the heart bleeds. Not the ordinary people, but the elite. How many ulama and how many pious people, Sufis, everyone, tablighis, your ringtone is a musical tone. And when you tell somebody, they say, no, Nokia, it just comes with that. But you can download how many other things you download? Can't you download some other simple tone? And there are so many other tones in the memory which you can put ordinary ringing tone. But how many they have got this? And when the phone rings, you sitting there, you also have to hear. You're deaf. That sound comes and it has an effect on you. Our Shaykh Ahmed Barakatum says that if somebody plays a trick on you and they put laxative in your food, and so much laxative that you have to run all the time to the toilet, or you even die in that, you won't get the guna for it, but the effect will happen. If you eat that, somebody put poison in your food, and it's not you're committing suicide, you didn't know there's poison in your food, and you ate that food, you died. You won't get the guna of committing suicide, but you'll die. It doesn't mean that you didn't do it intentionally, so it won't have the effect. So that music also, if you're listening to it, even unintentionally, but it's going to have an effect. Our Ustad Mufti Amjad Sahib, Damat Barakatum, it can be easily 10 years now. He came back from Umrah, he went for in Ramzan, and he told me that in Ramzan, in Masjid al-Nabawi, a person who had on his cell phone a musical tone, and he was standing very close to the Imam, and those mics of the Imams in Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, very powerful mics. So he drank in the namaz, and the mic picked up that sound, and from the Imam's mic in Ramzan, Masjid al-Nabawi, music was being played in the whole of the Haram. And outside the haram, the mics are outside the haram also. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Hayatul Nabi is alive in his qabr. And there also music. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I came in the world to break musical instruments. And today, musical instruments playing from the Imam's mic in Masjid al-Nabawi. And if it was a silent namaz, then only music playing. And if it was a namaz in which there was qiraat, jahran also, then Quran, and together with Quran, music also playing. And from the Imam's mic, we don't realize how the enemies have made us agents to do the filth and dirt right in our park places. And we are fast asleep, as if nothing is happening. We are happy with all what they are doing. And we are praising them in all their things also. And we don't realize what enemies they are. It comes in the Hadith Sharif, not Hadith Sharif, it is a saying of one Sahabi, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, al-ghina ruqiyatu zina, that music is the stepping stone for committing adultery. When a person listens to it, the desire for committing adultery starts coming into a person. Therefore, that is what they want, to make animals, worse than animals, they want to make people. So wherever you are, they put music. The aeroplane, when it is supposed to be taking off, landing, is a crucial time. Most accidents take place then, but they put music at that time. When a woman is giving birth to a child, that's a very crucial time, and especially as Muslims, we should be conscious, but they say to soothe her nerves. And the passengers also, to soothe their nerves, we put light music when the plane is taking off, when the plane is landing, etc. But this is where they're destroying us. And the child before, and most of the parents are shy today, that they must go give adhan first and takbir. In the meantime, they're listening to all that music there. The child, the first thing, when if the music went in that child, what will be the result of that child? And then the gossip and the talk of the midwife and the nurses, all that is going. And 1 week later you brought the child home, now you're giving azan. All the dirt and filth has been gone in. So a Muslim must be conscious, and you can work to have a delivery at home, to have it in a, not necessarily private clinics which are so expensive. There are many midwives who do it at their own homes, and there you can have full control of everything and have it properly in the correct way, Islamically. So this is very, very important. This view, it comes in the Hadith Sharif, that in the desert where it rains seldom, it doesn't often rain, but when it rains, there is a plant overnight that grows 5 meters high. 5 meters is a little bit less than perhaps the floor and the ceiling of our masjid here. Overnight it grows so much. And when you listen to music, it causes nifaq, hypocrisy in the heart, more faster than that also. And today they've tried, and wherever you can think, you can't prevent it. You go in a bus, there is music. You go in an aeroplane, there is music. Any office, any shop, music all the time. So a person, the harm they are doing, what are we doing to balance it at least? Or to minimize it, to balance it, to remove its effects. Hadrat Maulana Shah, just imagine, Hadrat Maulana Shah Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah should go for tabligh work where? To Mewat. Not Mewat of today. Even today's Mewat is still so backwards compared to the city of Delhi or India. It is so backwards. But the Mewat of those days, when they should go by ox wagon, horse and cart they should go. It was like far from Delhi. And he should go like that. But he should feel the effects of this bedini, of dunya, on his heart. When he should come back straight away, he should go to Gangor, Saharanpur, etc. And go and make atikaf and sit for 3 days, 5 days, 7 days. And make zikr, ibadat, to remove all the dirt that came on his heart. There wasn't music there. But just all the dunya's things, how much effect. But we can't make out, if you have a mirror that is clean, or your shirt is clean, your kurta, and one black spot, you make it out immediately. But you are a person who's a mechanic, and oil and grease full, your clothes are full, one more spot makes no difference to you. Your mirror, if it is clean, one spot and you can make out. But when it is dirty, you don't make out anything. There is no difference. Today, with all this, we listen to music, we listen to ghibat. These things have no effect on us. Because our hearts have gone so black, and we're not concerned of cleaning the heart also. And then we want to become Allah's walis. And we are involved with all this. Also, how many of our good friends, sometimes a phone comes and we have to answer it, it's for us, it came on their phone. When we take it finished, there is a picture of a grandchild, etc. And then we expect still to become walis, what all this, where there is filth and dirt, there's glass. If you're just to put ordinary tap water, municipal water, and the glass is not dirty inside, outside it's not dirty also. You were eating food and you didn't suck your fingers and you caught the glass, so those marks. That's not dirt, it's food. You aren't eating dirt, you're eating food. So that food marks are there, but we say the glass is dirty. And it's not inside, it's outside. Eh? But still we say it's dirty, and we feel not right to give it to somebody, and we feel in fact, that person will feel offended also, if he was given in there. But yet, your heart is dirty inside. How will Allah come in that dirty heart? So all these things here, so it is very important. So with the ears, to listen to this music also. And how many got a habit of eavesdropping? Hey, how many spy on their wives also? That what are they talking? This is also, if there is no reason for it, it is also haram all this. That what are they talking, etc. We go and listen to other people's conversations also. That is also haram, totally haram. A person, his privacy, Islam has entitled him and given him his privacy. If two people are talking, don't go and listen there what they are talking. It's not allowed at all, whatever they are talking. Unless they for some security reason and you are authorized to do it. And for some genuine security reason, that's a different thing. But just like this, to go and spy on people, to listen what they talk. How many of our friends, somebody wants to have a private discussion. So he comes, he's talking. And the others, you can see actually stretching their heads out. And they want to listen to what is being said. They wanted private time. They want to discuss their private affair. We have no right to indulge in that. So the ear and whatever is haram to be spoken is haram to be heard also. To listen to a lie, to listen, to speak a lie, ghibat, all haram things, backbiting, lowering people, or belittling people, to listen to it is also equally haram. And also, if you are sitting with your friends, many people find this a big problem. They realize ghibat has started, backbiting has started, but they can't excuse themselves. So, make an excuse that I want to go to the toilet. If you can't, if you haven't, first of all, stop them. If you have got so much strength, this is wrong, brother. I think this is backbiting and you're talking bad of this brother. And we don't have the right to speak. And what is backbiting? To say the truth of that person behind his back. That is bad. If you are lying, then it's a double sin. It is bohtan, false accusation, and ghibat sin also. So you stop him. If you can't, then you change the subject. If you can't, then get up and excuse yourself. Don't be so weak that you can't even get up and just go away from there. And by you just being an accomplice, listening to that ghibat, you are equally in that guna also. So it's not only the talking, just like whichever parts of the body are haram to see, the sitter, for a man from his navel to his knee. The same way to touch that part of the body is also haram. Like even if it's your sheikh, great buzurg also, and he has got a saw on his thigh, and under the lungi, you are rubbing some medicine for him. You're not allowed to. If he can do it himself, and he must get a mahram to do it. You are not allowed to do that also. So all this here, what is haram to look at, is haram to touch. What is haram to talk, is haram to listen also. It's not only that I'm not making the guna, I'm not backbiting, I'm only listening. No. Music, who is playing the music, it is haram for you to listen also. And if you are helpless in that place, at least go and now fix it up again. If you had to listen wherever you went, then make tawbah, istighfar. Hadrat Maulana Mazhar Sahib, Damat Barakatuh, said a beautiful thing. Your eyes in today's world will fall on other women, somewhere or the other. Where you see something wrong, itfa billati hi, no, what is it? When you make a guna, a hadith sharif, aapko France mein bhi pucha. Ji? Watbi al-sayya bil-hasana. When you do a wrong, follow it up with a good. Read La ilaha illallah. Read Astaghfirullah. You did something wrong, now follow it up. At least do that. Today our gunas, not wholesale, not factories of guna. I don't know on what mess production our gunas are. And not ask ourselves today, did I make istighfar one time? Did I read my istighfar? Not even just the word istighfar, the reality of istighfar is very far. And gunas, even while we in i'tikaf, how many of our thoughts go wrong? How many bad things come? We think bad about other people. While we are even in i'tikaf, while we in the haram of Makkah, how many places? Everywhere, but no istighfar. at least tawbah istighfar and do what is right. I know. Manana wants to become that.
I told him, Pakistan, there's no shortage of Akabir and Buzar. He says, no, he wants to do it here. Yeah? He's leaving to Kaljad. Samyaja.
Mukhtasar Manana, after Jante, Ba'at Sunnat hai, Faraz nahi hai. Jo Faraz hai, apni islah. Woh hai Faraz. Aur Ba'at usi gharaz se hai. کہ آدمی اپنی اصلاح کرے تو بیعت کا مقصد ہی سامنے ہونا چاہے کہ ہم اپنی اصلاح کرتے رہے اس کی فکر 24 گھنٹے سوار رہے کہ مجھے اپنی فکر اپنی اصلاح کرنی چاہے اس کے لئے پھر چند چیزیں آج کابیر اللہ ان کو جزا خیر دے ان کے وہ نبس پر ان کے وہ بالکل صحیح اپنی کمزوری سب کچھ جانتے تو بہت آسان کر دیا ہے ایک تو اسلامی لباس ہمیشہ جہاں بھی ہم ہو صحیح اسلامی لباس سر سے پاؤں تک پھر قرآن شریف کی تلاوت روزانہ رمضان میں زیادہ ایک ختم ہو جائے رمضان میں اور ایک ختم سال میں کم سے کم پھر تسبیحات 100 مرتبہ لا الہ الا اللہ پہلی مرتبہ پورا کلمہ محمد رسول اللہ درود شریف صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم اور تقریبا ہر 10 مرتبہ اور یہ اس خیال سے اور بھی مراقبے ہیں لیکن ایک یہ مراقبہ کہ لا الہ سے جتنی گندگی خرابی آئے دل میں اس کو میں نکال کے پھینک رہا ہوں اور الا اللہ سے صحیح چیز ڈال رہا ہوں جیسے تکبر ہے لا الہ سے تکبر نکال رہا ہوں الا اللہ سے تواضع رکھ رہا ہوں کیسے اس طریقے سے اصلاح کیسے نہیں ہوگی آدمی دھیان سے اس طریقے سے 100 مرتبہ اللہ پہلے اللہ کے بعد جل جلالہ کوئی بھی کلمات اللہ کی عظمت کے کہنا واجب ہے اور اس خیال سے کہ اللہ مجھے آپ سے پیار ہے آپ مجھے بہت پیارے ہوں آپ بھی مجھ سے پیار کریں آپ میرے دل میں آ جائے کیسے اللہ کی محبت پیدا نہیں ہوگی اور پھر آخری ایک چیز تعلق رکھیں ہر 6 ہفتے کو 2 مہینے میں ایک ای میل کر دیں ایک فون کر دیں تعلق جو معمول ہے ان چند چیزوں کی پابندی کرتا ہے اور تعلق رکھے اس کی ترقی ہوتی ہے ورنہ بیعت ہو کے بیٹھ جاتے تو پھر آگے نہیں چلتے put your hand on top but don't press down put comfortable okay الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين يبايعونك إنما يبايعون الله يد الله فوق أيديهم فمن نكث فإنما ينكث على نفسه ومن أوفى بما عاهد عليه الله فسيؤتيه أجرا عظيما وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام المرء مع من أحب کہو یا اللہ توبہ کی میں نے کفر سے شرک سے نفاق سے بدعات سے تمام گناہوں سے چھوٹے ہو یا بڑے خصوصا دنیا کی محبت کا گناہ سے اور آخرت سے غفلت کا گناہ سے من چاہی زندگی گزارنے کا گناہ سے اور آخرت سے اور سنت اور اللہ کے حکموں سے غفلت کا گناہ سے اور تکبر کا گناہ سے یا اللہ وعدہ کرتا ہوں جہاں تک مجھ سے ہو سکے 5 وقت کی نماز جماعت کے ساتھ
مسجد میں سنت کے مطابق پڑھتا رہوں گا, رمضان شریف کے روزے رکھوں گا, زکوٰۃ فرض ہوگی زکوٰۃ ادا کروں گا, حج فرض ہوگا حج کروں گا, اپنی اصلاح کی فکر برابر کرتا رہوں گا. یا اللہ, داخل ہوتا ہوں سلسلہ چشتیہ میں اور سلسلہ نقشبندیہ میں اور سلسلہ قادریہ میں اور سلسلہ سہروردیہ میں. یا اللہ, چاروں سلسلوں کے تمام بزرگوں